Okay. I don't know where it come to me, but I was thinking on reading verses that you're very familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you most often hear them read at a funeral service. In fact, thinking of that, I believe I read them just Monday at the memorial service for Titus Neesmith. Hope you're praying for Linda and family there. Titus was in great suffering for several weeks there in the hospital, intensive care. But then when the end come, it came pretty fast. And of course, loved ones need the grace of God, amen. Titus left a good testimony about where he was going, though. And that's the important thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to give this little study here a title I'm going to kind of stay with. Probably the ladies will come near remembering the title, if the tape room can remember it up there too. I joke with them about it. They give titles I never heard of sometime to some of the sermons I preach. I look back there in the counter and say, I'd love to have heard that one. They get it from somewhere. I'd like to speak to you a little bit tonight on don't live in a dirty house. One amen, we're counting. Don't live in a dirty house. You know the text here. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, this earthly house, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and rather willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'll stop right there. You know the context. Comparison here, of course, the earthly house, the body, and the house not made with hands in heaven that we're going to when we exit this body. Now, this portion of Scripture destroys a lot of bad doctrine like soul sleep. It says absent from the body, present with the Lord. We understand that. And truth is, we wear these old houses out. The doctor told Titus that you've just worn your body out. Well, that's what we're all doing. We may prop it up with pills and hook it up with seat belts, but sooner or later, like the Titanic, the whole thing's going to sink. It's going to go down. And we recognize that. But that's not the end. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You read on and read where we're going to be fashioned like his body, a glorious body. Wonderful truths of the Word of God. And I want to make, and we often make the analogy, as Paul does here in the writing, between the earthly body and the heavenly. The body not made with hands. Now, when I want to just, for sake of the lesson tonight, take a little bit different direction with it. I want to say to you, when I say don't live in a dirty house, that you and I, our minds go to dwellings, to houses made with hands, and most of us have seen a dirty house. Now, in the old days, I think there might have been a little more stigma on housekeeping than there might be now. I mean, bad housekeeping, a little more stigma about it. When I was a kid in the neighborhood, sometimes you'd hear the women talking, and the women don't think the kids are listening. But sometime I heard some of the older women say, well, she's not a very good housekeeper. By the way, I heard, with all you've heard about Liz Taylor, that she was a good housekeeper. That every time she got a divorce, she kept the house. No. I don't know. But it used to be a stigma if a lady didn't keep up her house. Now, I'm not talking about just things strode around. I'm not talking about things out of place, like maybe your grandkids will leave when they exit. Most of us can pick that stuff up. I'm not talking about a husband like myself that sometime uses the bed before he gets to the closet to put his clothes on. I'm talking about those things or things out of place. But I'm talking about dirt, dirty, smelly dirty, grimy dirty, dangerously dirty is what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in a place like that? We have, haven't we? I remember somebody and myself was in a place like that, and when we left, I said I wouldn't spend a night in that house. I'd sleep under any tree or without a tree before I'd sleep in that place. And then number two, I wouldn't eat anything that come out of it. I'm a little bit fussy about me eating anyway. But you know what I'm talking about? Just dirty. I was raised poor, but clean. I used to hear Grandma and Mama say that soap and water is cheap. That was one of their little cliches they'd throw around. And if they was talking about somebody being dirty, they'd say, soap and water's cheap. As we moved to Florida, water was cheaper. There was more lakes around. And you're looking at a fellow that I saw in the paper this week where they were fussing about Lake Eva being dirty. I don't know about that. But anyway, it wasn't dirty when I used to take a bath in it until I got out. And I did that quite a bit. I'd throw a towel and a bar of soap in the car. And even after dark sometimes, stop and take a little swim, cool off, and bathe off. And you say, why'd you do that? If you just seen my little bathroom at home. And that tub, and that was about it. But we were thankful the water was running. We wasn't running after it. It was running into the pipes. We were thankful for that. Same time, though, if we had any hot water, we had to heat it on the stove. So when the lake did get too cool, we did do that. But I want to tell you something. I've thought about it quite a bit. There was two things in our house that I noticed sometimes is missing in some places. We stayed clean. No matter how dirty the job was, you didn't go to bed dirty. You cleaned up. And then number two, we were modest. We didn't run around in our underwear. Nobody did. You change clothes. Now, I understand some little things are different and all, but I still think we miss a little modesty, and I think sometime our kids growing up get a little different slant on things because the way it is in the house. And when you're poor, when you don't have the facilities, sometimes the temptation is you just don't care, but that's not really an excuse. We ought to do things right. Now, I got no bones to pick with anybody about it. I'm just using the analogy here. But there's a spiritual application. If we wouldn't live in a physical dirty house made with hands, we ought not want to live in a spiritually dirty house. That's my analogy there. And so what are you talking about? I'm talking about, as I read here in the text, we get the earnest of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves in when we get saved. We're born again by the Spirit of God. Now, if Mother ever had the house any cleaner than any other time, it was when visitors was coming. And my wife, till this day sometime, I'll hear her say something like, so-and-so's coming. And I say, honey, they're not coming to inspect the house. But some of you women don't quite get that, do you? Even though they're only going to come in the front room and sit a little while, you got to have the bedroom perfect, too. Right? I understand, and I'd rather be that way than the other way. But at the same time, I guess you can't overdo it. I had a cousin, many of you remember Van Means, later Van Jessup after Ed died. But Van was one of four girl cousins I had. My mother's sister had four girls, no boys. And my mother only had the two boys at that time, Harvey and I. And in the summers a lot, we stayed in the same house when we'd go back up there from Florida to harvest crops and all that. But we'd get to go to town on Saturday, maybe. if we could all get in the old car and push it over the next hill, and I am not exaggerating, we literally sometimes help get out and push that car over the hill. But it was a big thing to go Saturday afternoon to a little town called Pelham, smaller than Haines City. One little movie, one little shoot 'em up in it where you could watch the Cowboys. Stuff like that. But I had a cousin. Her name was LeGrand. Some of you remember her. From the time I guess she was 12 years old, she had already got the nickname of primping. You know what primping, primping, sitting in front of the mirror, primping? That girl, she did that all the time. The other girls would fuss at her about it. When we got ready to go to town on Saturday, she started at daylight, getting ready, primping, sitting at her little thing with a mirror in front of it. And she was the last one in the car with all the rest of us fussing because she's still putting on a smidge of something else. Now, she did it right, boy. She looked well. There's no doubt about it. In fact, the preacher at her funeral said she still did it till a week or two before she died. Same way. She was extreme. Extreme on it. But when she got married and got her own home, she was extreme on the way she kept the house. Boy, I mean, she kept it just right. I mean, more than just right. And a time or two, I'd go up to preach a funeral or something in Georgia, and I would have to spend the night. Oh, she was wanting me to stay. Now, here's a bedroom. Here's your own bath. And I'd go in there, and it was picture perfect. I was scared to touch anything. Truth. When I go in the restroom, you know those decoration towels? You know you're not supposed to wipe your hands on those things. You know they're there for looks. Sure you do. And she'd say, and I had plenty of towels. I'd go in and wash my hands and shake them off and put them in my pocket and get my handkerchief out. I wouldn't dare touch that towel. Looked like it come out of Vogue magazine or somewhere. And I done that every time. That's the truth. My Uncle George, he had a sense of humor. And one day he went to her house, and for some reason or another, the door was open and nobody was home. Uncle George had a sense of humor you wouldn't believe. He was a famous fisherman at the famous creek that was a few miles from our house up there, not very big, but he'd catch them when nobody else could catch them. He'd come home with a string of fish. And I said, Uncle George, how'd you catch fish when nobody else could? He said, I don't know. I said, how many is the most you ever caught? He said, I don't know, but one time I was catching them so fast, I looked down there and I wore a hole out in the water. Now, he had a sense of humor like that. Just kill us kids with that. He just come out of nowhere with stuff like that. Well, he went in her house, and she wasn't there. Now, he was smart enough that he went around to her doodad shelves. He'd just take one and move it here, and another one and move it there. And he went all over her house, just moving slightly things, little things. And when she come home, she walked over at house. She said, something's wrong. Somebody's been here. I don't know what they've done, but they've done something. Something looks different. Tortured her to death for a while before whoever it was finally told her what he'd done. But she was overboard on the housekeeping. I mean, overboard on her own personal appearance, the way she worked at things, and her house. Now, you can overdo it, but when you got company coming, you're supposed to maybe do it a little better. You know, all of us are entertaining company. The Holy Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit's moved in us. We are born again by the Spirit of God. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. And the truth of the matter is, I used to hear an old country song, something about what would Jesus find if he came to your house today? Would he find the dirty magazine? What would he find if he went in your house today? Anybody ever remember that? I don't remember much about it, but there's a good point to it. Good point to it. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And sanctification is not just getting born again, but it's a continuous action of cleaning house, cleaning up the old tabernacle, the old body, the house that's earthly. And sanctification is continuous. You know what the Holy Spirit is to you and I, in a sense, living inside of us, he ought to be made the guard of the front door. And there ought to be things that try to get in that he'd tell them no. And the truth is, he does that. Now, sometimes we overrule him and let things come in anyhow. But he's there. He lets you know, I don't believe that ought to be in here. And we ought to be careful to listen to him, because he wants to set us apart for the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to be the guard. I know my mother was, you know, like I say, we was poor, but mother had some ideas about what could not be brought in her house. A cat or a dog couldn't get in there. She'd kill them, but she'd kill the kid that brought them in first. She just had an idea that was wrong. And I know what your philosophy's changed a lot, but she had that opinion and she died with that opinion. I remember one time she planted a little garden out behind the house. It was just coming up good, and she saw a big dog run into that garden. That ruined it. That's the truth. Now, I know that was too much, but I think the Holy Spirit sometimes is guarding our door, and we've just come to a day and age where we let anything in. We have an attitude that's different from what it ought to be as Christians, and we don't care. The Holy Spirit's in many Christian bodies. You put the beer in, you put the tobacco in, you put the dope in. You think how he likes that? He's living in there, you know. Now, I know he's living in the spirit part, but listen, you and I have a say-so over what comes in the front door. Now, we could name the sins all night long, and we're easier to name the sins of the flesh. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, well, you have that dirty sin. Well, in a sense, they're all dirty. Now, some might be dirty than others. I'm not going to argue about that. But, I mean, there's a sense there that it's dirt we shouldn't have, and we don't have to have. We have to okay it, or it wouldn't be there. We do have a will in that thing. Now, fleshly habits, we can talk about them all we want to. But we're real quick to defend by saying, well, God looketh on the heart. A man looketh on the outward appearance. Okay, but the heart affects the outward appearance. And the man outside of you can't see your heart. He can see your outside. He sees the package your soul is wrapped in, but he don't see inside. Now, thank God, God sees inside, but God wants you to be a testimony on the outside also. And that's a fight with the flesh. And I don't excuse it, and I don't say it's easy, but I'm going to say this. What is inside of you will finally make its mark on the outside. And then everybody will see it. You can't hold unconfessed sin inside without sooner or later it affects the outside. That's all there is to it. I've seen people that lived a horrible life of sin, and it left its scars all over them. I've seen some of them get saved, and so help me. It looked like almost within days of seeing them again, they almost looked like they dropped 20 years. It's amazing how the Spirit of God got inside of them, and the whole outside appearance began to look even different. And by the same token, I've seen folks that I thought must be 90 years old, and they hadn't reached 50 yet, because they just scarred up, abused that outside house, just messed it up. But inside will finally be seen on the outside. Now, we can all talk about the sit here and say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't run around with the boys that do. I understand. All that's flesh and all that's bad, but there might be some things worse on the inside, or just as bad on the inside. There's people so full of pride. You heard the saying, I'd like to buy that guy for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. That's pride. That's pride. And we all have to fight that. The devil fell by it, I believe, and we all have to watch it. And sometimes the saddest thing is some folks are proud of something not worth being proud of, or are not valuable at all. But that's an inside thing. Pride, wrong type of ego, selfishness. You're just going down the line. Envy, backbiting, all of that kind of stuff. And We can see it on somebody else, but the truth is we think we're hiding it on the inside when we're not. It'll have a way. It'll have a way of slipping out on us and pointing us out. Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. That means it not only will be discovered, but that sin will make you be recognized for it. It'll push you out to where you'll be seen. So I want to live in a clean house. I've been saved. I have a guest that moved in, the Holy Spirit. I want to keep the house clean. I've got to watch the front door. I've got to guard it. If I don't, a lot of stuff will move in on me. Dirty minds. Let me say to you men especially, look out for this day and time. You can hardly run the channels on TV without hitting pornographic stuff. And even if they don't call it that, that's what it is. And a lot of guys get stuck with the hard stuff because they start watching the light stuff. And that's the way the slippery slope begins to slide into the worst. And like the doper that needs another fix to top the last fix, to top the last fix, when you get into this thing of pornography, it will also do you the same way. It takes another fix and another fix and something a little worse and something a little worse. And don't think it just happens to the red light district. It happens to good family men. It happens to good church members. Nobody's immune because we're all in fleshly bodies. I have had, in my experience as pastor, men that sat in my congregation that had to fight to win over smoking. I've had them to fight to win over beer. I've had them to fight to win over this, that, and the other. And I've had them to have to fight to win over pornography. I'm talking about family men. Talking about men you wouldn't suspect. And it's a viper that right at the last, it bites, it stings. It's like the proverb says about the drunk. At the last, it'll get you. And it's a dangerous thing. Now, the best way to fight it is stay away from it, of course. That's it. But if you don't set some checks and balances, the devil will reach out and get you before you know it. I'd say this to men, and I'm not an internet man. I don't know my way around the thing, but a lot of guys get hooked on it, on the internet. You ought not be on that thing with nobody else knowing about it. You ought to have a check and balance fixed where you are not going to expose yourself that way. The devil has a trick on this flesh. He can put a dirty picture in your mind and you will never forget it. Well, I'll run a test on you right now. And you don't have to raise your hand, but you answer in your heart. We've all grown up in a world of dirt. Our earthly house is dirty. It's earthly, amen? We understand that. You probably heard some dirty jokes when you're in grammar school or junior high or high school or later. You probably heard some. And the truth is, you can remember them. But all the good ones, clean ones, you can't remember them. That's human nature. That's flesh. That's fallen flesh. Depraved flesh. That's what it is. And so you got to work at not letting the devil capture you with a picture like that. And because one leads to another and another. I never forget when we was fighting the, Brother Cham, you'll probably remember this, when we was fighting the nudity places in Lakeland. Remember that? Later on, after we'd done what we could, and finally the sheriff did get the place closed. It was a great victory. But a lot of undercover officers going in those places, spying on them and reporting and getting the evidence. And in one of the arrests, they arrested a fellow that claimed to be a preacher. Now, watch out for this thing in the newspapers. When they even claim to be a preacher, the newspaper will act like they've got a congregation or 1,000, you know, when they're just claiming. And not nothing in many cases. But just fakers. But in this particular case, when they arrested a few in the crowd, was a so-called preacher. And so the reporters jumped right on him. They didn't care about the rest of them. They jumped on him so they could blast somebody like me or somebody else with it. So they said, why would you be there as a preacher? And he said, well, I went so I could see it, so I could preach against it. Well, the reporter didn't buy that, and nobody else bought it either. But that's the kind of junk that the devil will use sometimes to excuse somebody and make them think, I got a reason. No, you don't have a reason. And it'll hook you, and it'll destroy families. Through the years, our college now is, our college has got to be about, 34 or 35 years old, somewhere in there. In that period of time, I've had students come into our college, and they had that problem, especially as the computer age got more easy for everybody to have one. We've kicked out in 35 years, 3 or 4 young men over that very thing. And that's terrible. Some of them made it all the way through without anybody ever knowing. And I'm thinking of 2 or 3 that actually got married and later on run their marriage with it. And we found out it was with them all the way through their college years. Could I say something to you? Everybody needs a personal accountability relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that, going to Bible college won't give it to you. I'll go further than that. Going to church won't give it to you. You come in here and we collectively sing praises to the Lord and worship God, but that won't protect you if you don't have a personal, real, genuine relationship with Him in the first place. I'm not talking about just, I'm trusting for salvation. I do doubt sometimes folks that say they're saved and still have no personal relationship. Seems like they don't have the Holy Spirit inside grieving them. Every saved person can do something wrong. But if you're really saved, the Holy Spirit's going to let you know you've done wrong. Because He does live in there. He will grieve your soul. And if you don't have any times that the Holy Spirit grieves you, now, I thank God if you're not doing anything He's displeased with, but I want to say if you are doing something that you know is wrong and it don't bother you, I'd question whether you've got that guest living on the inside or not. I really would. And got so many things that can be wrong, so many inside faults. I said pride, critical spirit. Everybody else is wrong but me. Well, maybe they are and maybe they're not. Maybe you're a little bit wrong too. One fellow said, I don't know why folks will not confess their faults. I'd confess mine if I had any. And there's a little attitude there too that you spot with some folks sometime. Amen? But that critical spirit can get you. I tell you what I see, and other preachers will tell you the same thing. I see sometimes church members that won't come to or will even leave a church like this one because they don't want their conscience disturbed. They don't want the Holy Spirit to bother them. They want to come in and sit down where the preacher tells them, you're victorious, everything's good, something good is going to happen to you tomorrow. And boy, they go away, and the truth of the matter is what they needed to hear was, confess your sin and God will forgive you and get right with Him. But that makes me feel uncomfortable. One lady went out of this church one time and she said, I felt better before I come. Well, I don't know where all she meant by that, but she didn't like it. Well, that's not necessarily wrong on our part. I don't want to be a church where folks living like the devil can come and be comfortable. I want them to be uncomfortable when they hear the Bible, when they hear the truth. Otherwise, who are we kidding? There does have to be a standard held high. I've seen folks, though, and this is sad, but I've seen them go hunt them a church to be comfortable in. What I mean by comfortable is they can come on Sunday morning once or twice a month and feel good about it. And that's what they want. Now, here's the other side of that also. Missionaries tell us that sometimes over in India and other places where they have a lot of different gods, various gods, that when you give them the gospel and you tell them about Jesus, you think, great. But then you find out, yes, they received him, but they put him on the shelf with their other gods. Well, that means nothing. Nothing. They're deceiving themselves. But here in America, while we might not have a little booters and things sitting on the shelf here or there, I find so many times that people act like that Jesus joined them instead of them joining him. Now let me explain that. Jesus is not coming in to a bad lifestyle and just living with you. He's not going to live in that dirty house. Holy Spirit's not going to live in that dirty house. If he comes in, there's going to be some house cleaning. If he comes in, there's going to be some changing. So what I see is I see Americans many times just want to take Jesus and add him to their lifestyle, add him to what they're doing, and he don't fit there, folks. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Think about that a little bit. He's not going to say, well, Mickey, I know you were doing this, that, and the other, and I just want to come along for the ride and go with you and just live like you were living. Don't worry about changing nothing. Oh, no, it don't work that way, folks. But some folks act like it does. I've had people sit in these pews that were guilty of adultery, and yet they wanted to be just as accepted as anybody else, and don't you dare put your finger on it. Like Jesus is comfortable with it. No, he's not comfortable with it. You're kidding yourself. That's a different Jesus you're talking about. It won't be the biblical one, I'll guarantee you. But I've seen that. Just get me a comfortable church to fit my lifestyle. You read through the Bible and you find out God likes cleanliness. This is not in the Bible, but the principle is. I remember something Sonia said to me when we were dating, probably even before I got saved. At the time she said it, I thought she was probably talking about my fingernails, because they probably had grease on them. And no matter how I worked as a mechanic, and you could just work at it with lava soap, you still couldn't get every bit of it sometimes. And I remember her saying to me, do you believe that cleanliness is next to godliness? I said, I don't know, believe that or not. She said, well, I do. I thought, that girl's sending me a message. I'm dirty somewhere. I remember that. I never have asked her what she meant by it. But after I got saved, I understood the principle. God is a clean God. He wants cleanliness. You read about all the rules of the Levitical priesthood back there in the Bible, brother, the dishes and the clothes and all the washing and all the cleanliness. Now, I know that was law and works, and I'm not saying you do that to be saved. But I'm saying if God liked it in the Old Testament, he probably likes for you to be clean in the New Testament too. That's a principle you can live with there. And we live in a day and time, though, when men want to add God to their dirty top shelf and keep right on peddling right down the same bad road. I surrender to preach. Brother Cham, do you remember Millard Branson? Millard Branson. I surrender to preach unto him. Millard was a good preacher and loved souls. When he'd get fired up and really get going, he'd sometimes say this: I believe if you get saved, if you become a Christian, you ought to look like one. You ought to act like one. You ought to talk like one. You ought to smell like one. You ever hear? When I say that, folks, you know, I got that from a long time ago. I still believe he's right. I still believe he is right. If you get saved, that guest inside guarding the front door is going to insist you clean up for the Lord. Amen. I believe that's true. Look with me quickly and I'll quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're not far away from it in chapter 5. Look at it in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? Or what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, what's went before now, because of what's just said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And watch the next statement. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, God prefers you to be clean. He'll help you be clean. He'll show you how to be clean and clean from the inside out. Jesus warned the Pharisees about being white as sepulchres on the outside, but on the inside they were full of dead men's bones. I don't want to be fake. I want to be clean all the way through. Amen. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if the outside is going to be what others see, let me clean it from the inside out. And the truth of the matter is, we've come to a day and time in church age, Christianity, where even some of the pollsters say they can't tell the difference by when they poll people, whether they're Christian or not, by what they say they believe. Isn't that amazing? That's a sad commentary. That's the Laodicean church age that claims to be clean, but they're not. They're not. And I challenge you, and all the culture and philosophy that's going around now, don't let it tempt you. Listen to the guest on the inside. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he tells you to clean up something, points it out to you, then that's